Right, okay, so children, why don't you stay at the front? Because we're going to see some slides and I'm going to ask you some questions on them. And a number of you are going to get a glow stick if you get a question right. Good. Never too old for a glow stick. Right, we're going to just think a little bit more about that amazing story. And thank you very much for those of you who are actually doing the actions at the with the sea. That was very, very realistic. So Jesus, as we've heard, had been talking and preaching and telling many people about how much God loved and cared for them. But as they're coming to the end of the day, because Jesus had been doing it all day long, he probably felt a bit tired. So he said to the disciples, I want you to look at that very carefully. He said to the disciples, I think we need to go across to the other side of the lake. Now, it may have been because Jesus had been quite tired and he just wanted a rest. It may have been, as we saw in that story that we had read, it may have been that he also wanted to preach to the people out in the boat. But he suggested that they went across to the other side. Right, the first question, how many disciples were with Jesus, all right? What are you looking at? I think Savannah was first hand up. How many was it? See whether you were right. It was four, so well done. Now, children, if you don't get a glow stick, everyone will get a chance, if you see me afterwards, as long as you answer one question, of actually having a glow stick. So they decided to get into the boat, and the Bible actually is, that story, such a simple story, but it shows us that there must have been somebody there who saw it happen. Lots of little details. It says that Jesus got into the boat just as he was. Almost Jesus was traveling fairly light. He didn't have any bags or anything. One moment he was preaching, the next moment he climbed into the boat. Right, another question, children. How many sails did the boat had? Ashmita, you were first up. Was it one, you sure? Indeed, it was one. Okay, well done. Children, if you get one of these, you have to work very hard. You just snap it in half, all right, and then it starts, hey, that's it, and it then starts glowing. And actually, there was not just one boat, but the Bible story tells us that there were some other boats as well at the same time. And it could well have been that they just wanted to follow Jesus. If we met someone famous outside and they started walking off into the town centre, I reckon there's a fair chance we'd probably follow them, wouldn't we? Right, another question coming up. I think you know what the question might be. How many boats were there? Actually, Enoch, I think you were first up. Was it? I don't know. I'm not sure whether you're right. Are you right? Confident? Well done, Enoch. Right, there we are. There's your glow stick. Okay. So there were three boats out. And then, as we heard so realistically, that wind suddenly arose. Now, actually, in the Sea of Galilee, that wasn't unusual. It was about 20-odd miles long. So it was much bigger than a lake, but it was surrounded by lots of high hills. And those hills were notorious. The wind used to come down the side without any warning. And one moment it would be really calm, and then suddenly it would be that great storm. Right, okay, another question. What colour were the clouds? That's an easy one, isn't it? Abby? They were black. Congratulations. And the storm arose and it was very, very windy. And as we saw, the waves got bigger and bigger and bigger. And the disciples were getting a little bit scared. Now, some of them were actually fishermen, so they shouldn't really be scared, but I think they were scared because it was a really big storm. They're used to storms, but maybe this is the biggest storm that they'd ever had in the history of that part of the world. So they were getting a bit worried, and they're also getting a bit worried because the waves were coming into the boat. And if waves come into the boat, you know, can we just maybe have a go at playing with that afterwards? Okay, good, brilliant. As the waves were coming into the boat was getting lower and lower in the water. And do you know what Jesus was doing at the time? Well, that's not actually a question, actually. But okay, what was Jesus doing at the time? What was Jesus doing at the time? Yes, what was he doing at the time? He was asleep. Well, that's a bit hard to believe, wasn't it? How could you be asleep in a storm? Well, my wife, and I think there are some other husbands and wives here who said, well, my husband and my wife could sleep through everything, anything. And people are like that. So Jesus wasn't wired from a little storm. He was tired because he was just like one of us. He'd been working all day. He wanted a bit of a nap. So if any of you fall asleep this afternoon, you're in good company, so don't feel embarrassed about it. So Jesus was asleep at the back of the boat. Right, what colour was Jesus' pillow? Eden, I think you were first up. Can you remember? It was yellow. It probably wasn't a pillow. It was probably more likely one of the leather seats that the people, because sometimes you had to row because there wasn't enough wind. So it was probably one of those leather seats that Jesus found hanging around, and he was asleep in the back of the boat. And the disciples, I say, were getting very, very scared. They were really probably getting a little bit annoyed with Jesus, because they thought Jesus had forgotten them. They thought they were going to drown. And Jesus woke up and, well, you know what happens next. Jesus just spoke and everything was quiet. So what did Jesus actually do? Were you listening? What did he do, Lois? He spoke. And you're absolutely right. He did speak. And he didn't really say very much, did he? I think he only just said, be still. He rebuked the wind. And straight away, as we heard, it became very quiet and calm. It said the sea was really, really calm. Now, that doesn't normally happen, because when the wind goes, even if it drops fairly quickly, the sea takes a long time to get flat again. You get out of a swimming pool, it takes ages for the swimming pool to get really, really calm. And yet the Bible said Jesus just spoke and it was calm straight away. So what actually happened? One moment it was a really, really big wind, and then Jesus spoke, and then what happened next? What happened? Something very special happened. David, what happened? Was it all still? Did it go still? It was. It went all still, didn't it? Right, there we are. Okay, well, David. He just spoke, and it went absolutely still. And the silly disciples really they should have really known better, because they'd seen Jesus doing some amazing things, and they should have realized that actually Jesus, they were safe with Jesus. They should have remembered what we're going to learn today, that we should trust Jesus in absolutely everything. And they were amazed. They couldn't believe what an amazing person Jesus was. So what can we learn from that story? Well, I think you know what we're going to learn, because I said it right at the start, didn't I? I said that we need to trust Jesus in everything. But how do we know that Jesus is the sort of person that we really can trust? Well, very quickly, he showed in that story that he was not just a man, one of us, but he was also God. One moment, Jesus was fast asleep, because he knows what it's like to be a human, because he gets tired, he gets hungry, he gets thirsty, he gets quite upset on occasion, so he knows exactly what we're like, because Jesus actually is one of us. He became a man. But one moment he was asleep, and then suddenly he became as if he was God, because he was God. Because Jesus just said, be still. I like the way the Bible talked about it. He said, actually, he rebuked the wind. He told the wind off, you naughty wind, be quiet. How dare you disturb my sleep? And the wind was quiet absolutely straight away. What an amazing thing to do. Yes, Jesus was one of us. Jesus really was a man. But actually, he was also God. And I reckon that shows that he is somebody that we can really, really trust in everything. So what things do we need to trust? Well, we had a bit of fun, didn't we, earlier on? That, yes, if we are scared of spiders and snakes, it's a good idea to pray to Jesus, and Jesus may help overcome our fear. Actually, there are other ways of overcoming our fear as well, rather than just praying. Maybe make sure we don't go places where there are snakes. Make sure we don't go places where there are spiders. But actually, there are far more important things that we get scared of. Right, you've been at school, it's been a bit of a rough day. Someone said something nasty to you, and maybe it's really, really quite upset you. And you go home and you're a bit scared about going in the next day. What do you think you should do? Why not try praying and trusting Jesus? Some of you this week might have a difficult situation. Maybe there's somebody at work we're not getting on very well. Maybe there's a big issue. Maybe we've got an important meeting coming up and we're not looking forward to it. We've got some uncomfortable things to talk about. We're really a bit scared about this week, something that's going to happen. What should we do? We should pray and trust Jesus. Maybe there's someone that we know, maybe it's a mummy or a daddy or a grandparent or someone who's not very well at the moment, and it rather upsets us they're not very well. Maybe they're going into hospital for an operation and we're a bit worried about them. What should we do? We should. You've got your hands up. What do you think we should do, Ashmita? Do you think we should pray?
Yeah.
I think we should pray and trust God in absolutely everything. Maybe someone in church today has got a hospital appointment next week. Maybe we're waiting for a blood test to come through on an x-ray. Maybe we haven't had the appointment, but we know something's not quite right. We're a bit worried about one of our children. Maybe they're a little late home. They said they were going to be home half an hour ago, and we're getting a little bit worried and concerned. I wonder where they are. What does this story tell us to do with confidence? It tells us that we need to pray and trust God. Children, your children's group leader is saying to you, it'd be lovely to have some new people along to explorers or pathfinders or breakout. And there's somebody at school that you'd like to invite down, one of your friends, but you're a bit scared about doing it. You're a bit embarrassed about doing it in case they're a bit nasty to you when you invite them down. What should you do? You should pray and trust God in everything. And us older ones, we're encouraged, weren't we, to invite people down to the Cayley. And maybe if we're honest about it, it's a long time since we've actually invited somebody to something. It's a long time since we've actually shared how much we love Jesus with somebody. Members of our family, our neighbours, the people that we work for. And maybe there's someone at work at the moment or a member of our family that actually, we would like to invite them down to something. We would like to be able to pray with them. What should we do? We should pray to God and trust God in absolutely everything. And we should do that not because it's encouraging for us and it's going to help us, but actually it's a good witness as well. We all know people, don't we, who don't have much of a Christian faith. But when illness comes along, when bereavement comes along, when unemployment comes along, we're amazed. We're amazed. Some, it's not always, but we're amazed how well they seem to be coping. Well, we're Christians. We've just been given this great promise that it should be a witness. When those storms of life come through, then we do really trust Jesus in everything. One final thing I want to say. The disciples, right at the end of the story, actually said were perplexed. They didn't really know who Jesus was. Who is this man? And I suspect there may be people in church today who still, and children, I'm talking to you here, people in church today who don't really know who Jesus is. Yes, we know he exists. We know he lived, he's an historical character, he's done some amazing things, but who really is he? And this story reminds us that he's not just God, but he's one of us as well. And being one of us, he knows what it's like to be one of them. He knows all those sorts of things that get us worried and upset, all those difficulties, those huge storms. And I mean huge storms that some of us have to go through. But Jesus knows what it's like. And that's why he wants us to trust him in everything. Yes, absolutely.